as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. So we spent most of our time last month on verse 13, that freedom is one of those things that when people have it, they usually use it for their own self-interest. But the reason God set us free from sin was so that we could learn to serve one another. It's an incredible challenge. What I want to focus on for this month, as you can tell, is verse 15. And I want most of these lessons to be positive in nature, and for us to talk about love actively. But part of the way we learn to love is by learning not to do certain things. Remember when you were raising your children, or someday when you do raise your children, one of the things you're going to be doing a lot of is telling them that that's not the right way to do it. Before they ever can get the idea of sort of the proactive, here are the ways you go the extra mile, you have to kind of say, don't do that, don't do that. That's the wrong way to do that. So here we have a don't act like this. So look at verse 15 when he says, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. I want to talk about this verse. It's an interesting, actually, thing to think about. And I'm going to put just a couple of things up here. By the way, I purposefully am starting with that heart up on the board. That's our image. But by the time we're done, it's going to be completely blacked out, because that's what will happen if we bite and devour one another. So I'm super creative today with my charts, so be impressed with that. But if you bite and devour one another. You ever seen that? Have you ever felt like that was going on in your family, in your nation, in your church? Now, what's interesting about the words, and we're going to talk more about them in a minute, is they're very literal words. It actually does mean just to like chew on food and to like eat or consume something. But you understand this in a metaphor because you had siblings or you had friends growing up in the neighborhood who would just kind of like, it felt like their words and their ways were just sort of gnawing on you and chewing on you. At first it was just annoying, but you sort of felt like after a while it was really draining you. It was really harming you. And that's a danger for us that live together in a community like ours. But now I want you to watch what this verse does. It says, but if you bite and devour one another, some versions say, watch out, or I think mine says, take care. Some versions actually say, beware. Now, why would the verse have to say that? Hey, if you're biting and devouring each other, parents, think about your kids, and they're sniping at each other, and they're calling each other names, and they're sort of annoying one another, and you say, hey, watch out. Be careful, beware. Why? Look at the rest of the verse. That you are not consumed by one another. What does that mean? Like, what's the idea behind, you know, if you're biting and devour one another, you have to be really careful because I don't think your intention will be to actually do this, but if you keep at it, you will actually do this. You'll be consumed. Now, let me ask you this again. Have you ever seen a family, a church, or whatever, a nation, a workplace, where they were biting and devouring each other, and nobody ever got a handle on it? And what eventually happened was that family broke apart. That nation crumbled. That workplace failed. That church disappeared. It's a real problem. What we think or what we don't intend for these things to kind of get to, eventually get to a place where you almost can't live with each other anymore and you're actually consumed. That's an interesting thing to say in a verse. So I have three questions I want to discuss. What actually is this problem of biting and devouring? And how specifically is this a problem? And then why is this a problem? It's a very simple outline, by the way. What is the problem of biting and devouring. So let's talk about those words. If you look again at the verse, that word bite is only used here one time in the scripture, in the New Testament. This is the only time. And like I said, it literally means to bite, like to take a bite out of food, but it means this in a metaphor. But the word, the next word, devour, is used a couple of times. Let me show you that in some places. Go to Luke chapter 20. Look at Luke 20. Verse 45, Jesus is going to start speaking here in just a moment. And while the people were listening, Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance' sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." Now stop for a moment. Jesus was talking about their leaders. In fact, people they would have looked up to, their preachers and their Bible class teachers and people who in society were kind of like the celebrities. And he says, all right, look at them. They're good with their words. They're really good to each other. They greet each other. They're always on the red carpet. They're always sitting in the best places. You think pretty highly of them. But you know what they do? They devour widows' houses. What does that mean? Like, they think about themselves, but when they think about, or if they think at all about, the people around them, they're not that concerned about what's happening in the lives of some of these people that are going through hard times. So going to chapter 21, keep reading. I think this chapter division kind of messes us up sometimes. 21 verse 1 says, "And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all out of their surplus put into the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on.'" Now I'll tell you what normally happens with this passage is we go to chapter 21 verses 1 through 4 and we say, "Isn't that woman great?" And she is. Jesus points her out. But do you know what's really going on in this passage? That woman putting everything she had to live on in the temple complex was shameful in the light of the fact that there were these rich people who greeted each other and cared about each other, but they didn't care that this woman was going to walk out of the temple complex with nothing to eat. I really think that the first couple verses of chapter 21 is more or as much a condemnation of the Pharisees as it was the widow being praised. You know what it means to bite and devour each other? It means that some people in this room are going through hard times and the rest of us who are living pretty good lives just don't notice. We don't help. And they waste away. Let me show you another place. Look at John 2 to get an idea of the word. John 2, verse 17. It's actually when Jesus went in on the Passover and turned over the tables of the money changers. Look at verse 16. "And to those who were selling doves, he said, 'Take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business.' His disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house will devour me,'" or consume me. Now the idea here of being devoured is being overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed with zeal. But again, I want you to think about this in the context of how we can do this to each other. Have you ever seen somebody, young or old or whatever, that kind of became the center of attention for negative reasons? They messed up, they did something wrong, they embarrassed themselves, and everybody in their peer group starts sniping at them. A joke here, a laugh here, a reminder here. And at first they're kind of like, yeah, all right. But it keeps up and it keeps up and it keeps up. You ever seen somebody get overwhelmed? Like they just can't sort of handle it anymore. Do you think that happens sometimes in families and in churches? If you bite and devour each other, you know, one last passage I put up there, 2 Corinthians 11:20, talks about how some of the leaders in that church were exploiting. That's the word there in that text. Exploiting. They were devouring people. So that's what this is. That's what biting and devouring is. I also want you to understand this idea of being consumed now. Did you notice how devouring and consuming sound very similar? If you bite and devour, you'll actually consume each other. You don't intend to like eat the whole person, but you will if you keep at it. You know, that word consumed is only used one other time in the Bible. It's in Luke 9. Go to Luke 9. By the way, this is probably the most important point of the whole lesson. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" All right, that's the only other time the word is used. When the warning in Galatians 5 says, be careful that you don't consume each other, you had two disciples that once were with Jesus that said, "Jesus, you want us to call down fire and like burn this place up and burn it to the ground and just overwhelmingly consume them?" What did Jesus say in the next verse? He turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of." By the way, Christians, if you're in the habit of biting and devouring, sniping at people and talking about people and causing trouble rather than loving and serving them, do you know what kind of spirit you are of? You're of the kind of spirit that actually intends eventually to consume a place, to destroy a place, to tear it apart and break it down. And you would say, "No, no, no, that's not my intention. I'm just sort of annoyed right now." Yeah, keep it up. But you don't pick up a sandwich and bite and bite and bite without the intention of eventually finishing the sandwich. If you're participating in this, if I'm participating in this, do you know what kind of spirit you are of? So, how is this a problem? Go back to Galatians 5. You know, I think this would be an easy thing to discuss, actually. I'll go ahead and ask this in form of a question. If you want to, you can raise your hand for this, because I really would be interested for everyone to see this. How many of you have ever felt like or noticed or experienced this feeling of being bitten on and devoured? Like, how many of you kind of understand the verse and think you know what it means? How many of you have felt that in your life? Go ahead and raise your hand if you've felt it. All right. So if I said, "How does this happen?" could you answer it? You ever been criticized? And you thought the criticism was harsh, unjust? You ever been gossiped about and you thought, "I wish they would have come and talked to me instead of somebody else"? You ever had somebody that treated you in a way that was different than the way they treated other people, and it sort of made you feel inferior or bad about yourself? I mean, just honestly, just think about the ways you felt bitten and devoured. And when I say, "How does this happen?" or "How is this a problem?" you already know the answer to it. So stop it. Don't participate in it. But this is the way life works. You grew up in a family like this, and it's all you know. Your parents sniped at you. Your siblings fought with each other. There wasn't any intention of building up the family. It was just constant dragging down. And so that's just what we learned. And so that's what we do. But how does it happen? What does it look like? Stay right here in Galatians and just look a few verses on in verse 20. In the list of the deeds of the flesh, there are things like idolatry, sorcery. Now here's our words. Enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying. Skip down to verse 26. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Did you know if this church has somebody who's a bragger? Like if there's somebody that gets up here and always talks about how great they are, that tears people down. If there are people that envy each other or are jealous of each other, somebody's successful, somebody's doing well, somebody drives up in a new whip or a rig or whatever you guys call it these days, and everybody's like, oh man, I wish I had that. And there's strife going on and little things here and there. Do you know? This becomes a real problem. I don't know if I ever told Rick this or not. Maybe I did. Rick wouldn't remember. But when I decided I was going to move here and there was going to be two preachers, I'm not sure if you got anything like this, but you'd worked in a two-preacher arrangement, but I hadn't. And I sought advice from some other people about, should I move to Minnesota? Should I be in a place where there's two preachers? And like to a person, almost every one of them said, it's really dangerous. I was like, why? He said, because every two-preacher arrangement I've ever known, there was a lot of strife and competition. Somebody trying to be like the guy. And it always caused trouble. So when I first came here and I met Rick, I was looking for any inkling that it was going to be like that. And there wasn't any of it. There wasn't any ego. There wasn't any, I have to be the guy. And when I got to know this church, there wasn't any of that. Do you know how rare that is? Do you know how rare it is to be in a family of people that aren't in competition with one another, but just want to do the best they can with whatever their role is? It's beautiful. By the way, I'm not preaching this lesson to a church that I think is all messed up with this. I'm preaching this preventatively, that it could someday be like this, and it ought not ever be. Why is this a problem? I mean, we could talk all day long about all the little ways that this is a problem, but why is this a problem? And as we answer this, we're also going to do some more of the how. All right, go back to the verse. Look at verse 15 again. And what's the very first word in your verse? But. Did you know verse 15 is a contrast to the verse before it? What's the verse before it? So right before this, you have verse 14 that says, the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you. You know what biting and devouring is? It's not love. It's the opposite of it. Love is about building people up, not tearing them down. Love is about making things better, not making things worse. Love is all the ways that God designed us to be family. But here's the contrast. All right. So why is this a problem? You know what I've never done until this week? I'd never done this before. I had never looked at Leviticus 19:18, where this quote comes from, and noticed the context of it. Have you ever done that? Go look at the context of Leviticus 19:18. Now, 18 is where it's actually said, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of my people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So there's the quote. But I want you to notice that even in Leviticus 18, it's a contrast. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself is a contrast to all the laws he just gave starting back in verse 7. Now, here is Leviticus 19's lessons on how to love your neighbor as yourself. You ready? We're going to go through these. Let's read them together. Verse 7. Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. Nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Lesson number one about not biting and devouring the people who you live with is don't be greedy. Leave it for the needy. You like that? It's exactly what the verse says. When you're out there gathering in your own field, and I know we're Americans, it's my land, it's my field, it's my money. But have you noticed, by the way, that our culture is kind of like this? Hey, I've got more money than you, and I know you need a place to live, but you know what? I need 10 places to live. So we buy up all the houses, and then we rent them to you, if we're rich. Oh, I know, that's just the way it works in the world. That's just capitalism, and that's just the world. But it's not the family of God. In fact, in the family of God, and even in the Old Testament, God said, I understand you're picking up your food, but if you drop some on accident, don't turn around and pick it up. And don't plow the corners of your fields, because there's some people around here that need some help. You know, it doesn't even say, give it to them. They had to come pick it up themselves. They had to actually come harvest from the corners. This is even more passive than giving it. The New Testament actually tells us to give it to each other when we need help. But at the very least, don't be greedy. Be thoughtful about the people around you. Verse 11. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. All right, second lesson in Leviticus 19 about how to love your neighbor as yourself. Don't be a thieving, shady liar. How about that? Is that fair? Don't take things from people, whether that's their time. Because you could pull your weight around here, but every time you don't, somebody else has to do it. You know, you could always make promises and say that you're going to do some things, but you're just sort of shady about that. You're not really getting your stuff done. By the way, you know what that's like in a workplace, right? It's a biting and devouring. It's a tearing down. It's frustrating. It's annoying. Tell the truth. Do your part. Don't be a thieving, shady liar. All right, verse 13. Verse 13 says, you shall not oppress your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you all night until morning. Don't be oppressive or unthoughtful. You know, it even says, if you owe somebody something, don't wait till morning to pay it. Give it to him now. So in whatever ways that you might be oppressive or unthoughtful, stop it. That's not loving your neighbor. It's biting and devouring people. Verse 14. You shall not curse a deaf man, nor place a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. Don't be unkind to the differently abled. By the way, I like that. I know that's PC. You're not supposed to say disabled. You're supposed to say differently abled. But with everybody's disability, did you know that they have abilities that you couldn't possibly have because of their disability? Blind people hear things that you will never hear. Deaf people see things that you will never see. Poor people understand things that you rich will never understand. And the burdens of the rich are things that some that are poor will never understand. Look, we're in a diverse kind of family, and we may think other people are more important than others, but here's the reality. Don't curse or cause to stumble somebody who's not the same ability as you. That's biting and devouring each other. It's not loving each other. Verse 15. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly. Don't play favorites. Be fair and balanced. I know you have best friends here. I know sometimes people want churches to be filled with people who are well off, because the well off people can really help us, you know, financially. What does the verse say? Don't defer. Don't play favorites. When you make judgments, it doesn't matter if it's your best friend or whether it's somebody you don't know, be fair with everybody. To do anything different than that in a community, in a nation, in a family, in a workplace, in a church, anything different than that bites and devours and tears down. Next verse, verse 16. You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you are not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You know that word there, life, if you look at the footnote in your Bible, if you've got one, it literally means the blood. So, don't slander and drain the blood or the lifeblood of your neighbor. If you've ever been the object of gossip, if you've ever been the object of slander, if you've ever had people go around and talk about what you've done or what you might have done or what you're capable of doing, and when you find out that that's what the community of people has been doing, tell me it doesn't feel like your lifeblood's been drained from you. It's hard to get up. It's hard to move forward. It's hard to feel like you belong anywhere. So, Leviticus 19 says, if you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, stop that. Verse 17. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. Just want to point out, it doesn't say actively, externally, making it known. It says, watch what you're doing even inside of you about the way you feel about your neighbor. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. Now, I really like this verse, because what it says is, don't hate people even in your heart, even when correction is needed. Did you notice that? Sometimes people do need to be rebuked or reminded and told they need to do better. I'm always messing with people that are into politics, and I don't apologize for that, because you need to be messed with. If you're into politics, let me tell you what you do. You see a politician who needs to be rebuked or corrected, and so you correct him on social media. Look at this verse again. All right. Correct. But don't incur sin because of somebody who's done wrong. You don't hate them in your heart. And I don't care what party they belong to or how much you think they've done wrong. Listen, that's biting and devouring. And it's dangerous. So figure out your heart. Finally, 18 has two lessons. Verse 18, you shall not take vengeance. Don't seek vengeance or retaliate when wronged. Jesus taught that. Turn the other cheek. Why not rather just be wronged? And finally, verse 18, do not hold any grudge. What do you think of that list, by the way? I'd never noticed that before. Like, I'd never gone and looked at Leviticus 19 when it said, like love your neighbor as yourself to even ask, well, what does that mean? It means don't do any of that stuff. And everybody that's ever been the victim of any of that stuff knows how dangerous it is. I have one more thing to share with you. Go to Mark chapter 3. Mark 3. I need to take just a breath for a minute. I've been a little bit passionate in this lesson. Let me tell you why. Most of my life, this has been one of my greatest struggles. My words, my mouth, the way that I've talked to people and about people from the time I was very young has caused far more damage, I imagine, than any good that I've ever done with my mouth. That might surprise you because I've been preaching a long time trying to say good things to a lot of people, but I'm fairly sure that if you go back in my past and you just look at the ways that I've spoken to and about people, you would be appalled at me. And I just need to be reminded of what Jesus warned us here about in chapter 3, verse 24. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. Is anybody worried for our nation? Are you worried? People biting and devouring, complaining, criticizing. Shouldn't surprise us, guys. If at some point, if we're not already witnessing it, that house does not stand. Even if some of our most famous leaders have quoted Jesus here, don't be surprised. But I'll tell you something. It ought not happen here, in this family, in this church. Because we know different, right? If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you're consumed by one another. Let's love and serve each other. Thanks for your attention. We're going to sing a song that's meant to encourage.